I want to thank Jimmy and Joan, Don. It's an honor to be the caboose on this train. I've got about 4 or 5 sports poems, and these are about Pittsburgh sports people. First one's called No Bottom. My dad loved Archie Vaughn, the pirate shortstop who died too soon. Drowned on a fishing trip in California, the lake so deep it had no bottom. And Paul Wehner, who wanted a clean 3,000th hit, not a muffed line drive. He asked the official scorer to take it back. And who, when asked if a whiskey flask in the dugout was his, answered, "Is it full? If so, it's not mine." Still hit 191 triples, had a lifetime batting average of .333. Neither man would own a computer, or a cell phone, or tweet, or post images on Instagram or Facebook, but they had followers. Crossing the Ohio, black as the river Styx, tens of thousands of coal miners and mill workers, the color of mud, the color of steel, the color of tears. While the city burned itself each summer, the fires so deep they had no bottom. Here's a couple for Jimmy. This is called Ode to a Nightingale, after John Keats. My heart aches and a numbness pains my senses. In other words, the Pittsburgh boxer Fritzy Zivic was having a rough go against Henry Armstrong in the glare of Madison Square Garden, October 4th, 1940. Homicide Hank was just too tough, too fast, too experienced. That's why he was the champ. And the baying crowd knew it. Fritzy's blood was everywhere except where it was supposed to be. His gloves untouched. I was afraid to fight dirty. I was afraid my reputation would cost me, he told Red Smith after the fight. I had to fight clean. Then in the 7th round, Henry headbutted Fritzy, started giving him elbows, started giving him the business. So the ref says to both of them, if you guys want to fight that way, it's okay with me. That was the break our boy needed. Thou was not born for death, immortal Pittsburgh. By round 10, Henry was bleeding from both eyes, the result of unpleasant encounters with thumbs and laces, as choir boy Fritzy hammered him with low blows and uppercuts until the champ hit the canvas in the 15th round like a drunk on wet pavement. Was it a vision or a waking dream? I'll settle on a vision. Back in Pittsburgh, the mill workers and machinists up and down the valley sang like songbirds from that day forth. Thank you. This one's called Too Good. Charlie Burley was too good. Everybody in Pittsburgh said so. The sports writers, trainers, cut men, all the mill workers, the garbage men, the mechanics. The great Sugar Ray Robinson said so. The great Sugar Ray, who fought Jake LaMotta 6 times, said he wouldn't fight Charlie Burley because he was too good. Wouldn't risk getting his face beat flat as a piece of tin. Besides, I have Fritzy Zivic, he said. When the greatest fighter in the history of boxing is afraid of you, that's something. It was said that the parabolic curve of Charlie's left hook was so deadly, so mathematical, it was borrowed for the Manhattan Project. Yet so beautiful, it could have been drawn by Da Vinci. The middleweight Archie Moore never knew what hit him, or from what altitude, or from what continent. He almost lost an eye. The blast from Charlie's fist was so bright on the horizon, the bomb sight cracked before the fallout began. Just 2 more. The Pittsburgh windmill. Harry Greb, the Pittsburgh windmill, the newspapers said, liked running, jump rope, and cigars. He liked hitting the small bag and the heavy bag, all power and sweat. The immortal Harry Greb, Odysseus with one eye, never forgot his footwork. Pittsburgh taught him the size of a man doesn't matter. Heavyweight, middleweight, Gene Tunney or Tiger Flowers, boxer or puncher, a couple of rounds is all he needed. After Kid Norfolk cut his eye, no one knew he couldn't see, and that before a fight he had the eye chart memorized for the doc, or that sometimes he had to find his way in the ring, hair slicked back, muscles hard, had to feel a man close up in the dark before dropping him in a puddle of blood. The sports writers put it all down. So many great fights the Pittsburgh way. His punches, like mill accidents, like mine explosions, like pig iron, like Bessemer, the stuff of poetry, plus the fact he died young. And my last one, when Billy Kahn fought Fritzy Zivic. That was a day the poets all said to celebrate hard men, to celebrate muscle and sweat like it always was and forever shall be. That was an afternoon to sing of haze and smoke and soot, of mills and furnaces and factories, of hot metal rolled and shaped and pounded by the gods, of punchers and boxers and gamblers and cornermen, of Irishmen and Croats. That was the night, December 28, 1936, when Billy Kahn fought Fritzy Zivic in the dark alley of Duquesne Gardens, the Monday after Christmas. In the city of champions, in the city of pain and struggle, in the city of Carnegie and Frick. And when it was over, every forehead in Pittsburgh was busted, every eye cut with an ice pick, every nose caved in like a coal mine. And blood ran like steel and made Pittsburgh stronger. And a storm was all that was left for 1,000 miles as the clouds took knives to each other. Thank you.